Yeah, right, like who doesn't? Okay, so in any case, all of that, and I've still got one problem. Hold on, I've got to start over again on this one. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I'm going to back up. 4, 3, 2, 1, now we're live. Okay, Bismillah, alhamdulillah. Well, I said that we're here in Flint, Michigan, and we're talking about the subject of Dawah. Dawah means invitation. We discovered that in earlier programs. We talked about the invitation to al-Islam. What is Islam? And we found out that means the submission to Allah. The only thing left now to talk about is Allah. And by the way, if we talked about Allah until Yawmul Qiyamah, we could not cover all the subjects. So this is a very big subject and a good one to say for the last, for this big event. And this is our most focused on event of the day. Everybody's here for this and they want to see what we're going to talk about, calling to Islam. And the call to Islam is not just a call to Islam, it's the call to Allah. Let me explain why. I want to encourage you to think very deep about this subject. If you said you would like everybody to come to Islam, you're calling them to a verb. If you're a professional runner or somebody who likes to run, you know, I know I don't look like somebody can run. I used to a long time ago. But when you run, that's a verb. That's an action. And you said it's healthy and it's good and I wish everybody would run. So you call people to running, but there has to be a what? A destination, a place to run to. Unless you're just going to run in place. And many people wouldn't like to do that, just to stand still and run standing in the same place. So you have a goal, a place you want to go to. And the goal or the destination of Islam is to what? Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because He's the goal. He's the object of Islam. Islam describes how you get there. But it doesn't describe the goal. The goal is Allah. And also in previous programs, we talked about Allah. And here in Flint, Michigan, we haven't talked about it, so I'm going to have to back up a little bit for the benefit of you that are online. You've heard this before, but we'll say it again. Allah is Allah's name. That's His actual name, but also it comes from the root in Arabic language, Ilah. Ilaha. What is Ilaha? It's something that can be worshipped, something that can be prayed to, something that can be adored. Anything actually can be an ilah. It can be a rock, a stick, a stone, a bone. It can be anything. If you can see it, hear it, taste it, smell it, touch it, imagine it, it can be an ilah. An ilah. Because that's something to be worshipped. And many religions do worship cows, monkeys, dogs, cats, even people. Is that right? Yes. But in Islam, we worship Allah, and Allah is not the same as Ilah. Allah is Ilah. He is Al-Ilah. He is the God. Without doubt, He's the one to be worshipped. But when it's Allah, this is different because it becomes so singular, it can never be made plural. There is no plural form of the word Allah. And there is no gender for this word Allah. It's not male and it's not female. We talked about that before. When Allah says, Hu Alladhi, He is the one, you say, wait a minute, it doesn't mean He is in gender like a man. It means out of respect. And when He says, Nahnu, we, this is not plural. But it's out of respect, the royal we. We covered that before in other programs, but I want to repeat it for the benefit of those that are here in Flint, Michigan, because this is important to know what this word Allah, what it means. Water would be great right now, alhamdulillah. But when we think about this subject, Allah, a lot of times we don't put enough emphasis on it, and that's really what you're calling the people to. So by the way, one of the best tips for dawah is to find out what you're calling the people to. Because if you don't know, you're going to have a hard time because shaitan is going to be attacking you. He's going to give you a hard time. These people, when they respond back to you, Shaitan is putting in their mind what to say to them, to say to you. Okay? And if you said, I believe in Allah, one of the things people will say, oh yeah, so that's God, right? And so you go, yeah, it's God, that's it. I think somebody kicked this cord. We just lost this one over here. Wait, wherever this line is coming from over here, I think somebody just fell over it out that way. Where's our computer man? Yep. Alhamdulillah. Well, anyway, I hope you can still hear us online. Alhamdulillah. I know someday, you know, 20 years from now, we'll look back at this as being the good old days, back in those days when we used to have to use cell phones to try to reach people online. In any case, I want to talk about Allah, and I want to, inshallah, mention that if you don't know who Allah is, you can't really call to Him very effectively. Because if they said, well, you believe in God, huh? And you said, yeah. Does Allah equal God? How many of you think it does? Raise your hand. If you raise your hand now, it means you were not listening to what I just said. If you raise your hand right now, it means you were not paying attention to anything I said. Which is fine, go back to sleep. But for the rest of us, I just told you Allah is the word that, meaning that it can't be plural, and God can have an S after be God. Yes or no? It can also be female, goddess. And I just said it can't be. The word Allah cannot be a man, a woman, a male, a female. It can never be 2, 3, 10, 100. It can't be a trinity. Allah is so unique that when people get away from Islam even a little bit, they don't like to really even use the word Allah anymore. They try to use something else like Rabbi, my Lord, instead of saying Allah. Because Allah is a beautiful, beautiful name, and the best way to describe Allah is by that way, and it carries the meaning, the only one worthy to be worshipped. Now, isn't that amazing? Stop and think. Did you ever think about that before? Because if it means the one to be worshipped, the object of ibadah or worship is an ilah, and it's the only one because it's so singular and it's not male or female, isn't that the perfect name for the one who is the object of La ilaha illallah? Is it perfect? And obviously it should be perfect because Allah is perfect. MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. Allah is greater than whatever He's created. Somebody's playing with your computer, huh? Okay. Enough. Alhamdulillah, we're having a pretty good time here in Flint, Michigan, and I hope, inshallah, that many of you will join us online now. You become a part of our family and join us as much as you can and share this link with other people to encourage them to come, because it is the only website of its kind on the internet. Not only are we broadcasting, we're broadcasting live. We're also interactive with the people who are online. It means that you can ask questions, and inshallah, we can give you good answers. We have many, many scholars coming online. We have anywhere from 5 or 6 different ones who come on at different times teaching and helping, students of knowledge teaching and helping to answer your questions about Islam. And who is Allah? And what is Islam? Now, this subject of Allah, I want to take it at another level. I want to go to another level with you. You're in a dialogue. You're in a discussion. Somebody said, oh, so you believe in a God, is that it? You go, yeah. Okay? So, where is your God anyway? What will you tell them? Where is God? What will you tell them? They've asked you now, you got out here, you want to call the people to Islam, and by default, that means you're calling to Allah. So it means they're asking you now, tell me about your God. Where is Allah? How many think Allah is everywhere? Raise your hand. Look at that. The majority raising their hand. How many of you think Allah is in every single thing that He created? He's in every molecule, every atom, everywhere. Raise your hand. You see, now, you know why Allah brought you here tonight? To give you a chance to make tawbah from what you just said. That's shirk. And Allah doesn't forgive shirk. That is so serious, and this is the level that we've reached, and the Muslims today, we're all over the earth, and we don't even know who Allah is. The first word in the Shahada is a negation of false worship. La. What does la mean? It means no. Absolutely, positively, no way, Jose. Is that right? It means no. La ilaha illallah. There are no gods. There is none worthy to be worshipped. There's no God out there anywhere. There isn't any God. Illallah, except Allah. And if you put Allah in the creation, in even one atom, or all the atoms, you've committed the worst mistake you can make. Because it's shirk. Because if Allah is in the creation, then He's subject to the creation. And that's A'udhu Billah wrong. Allah is the Samad. Everybody know that? Is He Samad? Yes or no? It's one of His names. Samad means that if for eternity, all of creation depends on Allah, but He does not need the creation. And if He was in it, that means He would be subject to it. Because if you said Allah, He's in the beautiful sunset, He's in the rainbow, He's in the, you know, the music, and He's in all these wonderful things that you like. If you said that, what's going to happen when they said, okay, is He in the AIDS virus? HIV? Huh? If you said, is He in your toilet? A'udhu Billah. Are you going to put Allah in the hell? Hell is real, right? No, you don't put Allah in His creation. This is pantheism, and that is what the Hindus believe. That's what the ancient Indians of this country believe, to put God in His creation. Who commits shirk is committing this sin of putting Allah in the creation. Don't say Allah is in His creation. Now, He's as close to you as your jugular vein, yes or no? And He comes down in the third part of the night to pick up the prayer of the one who's seeking Allah's forgiveness, seeking Allah to worship Him, yes or no? Absolutely. And He is the one who is semi-ali. He hears that He's all hearing, He's all speech, and He's all knowledge. He has all knowledge, yes or no? But that doesn't mean He's in His creation, does it? No. Did Allah exist before He created? Then He can't be in the creation. Duh. Think about it. We don't put Allah in the creation. Don't do that. Because the enemies of belief, the enemies of faith, will come back and ask you questions that you can't go anywhere with. They will ask you these kind of stupid questions. Say, is He in your toilet? And what will you say? You say, no. So they'll say, now, you're going to say He's in some molecules and not other molecules? He's in some atoms and not other atoms? Or say what? He's not. He is not in His creation. Don't say that. What did He say in the Quran? Hu alladhi khalaqa samawati wal ard fi sittati ayyamin thumma istawa ala al-arsh. He is the one who created the heavens and earth in 6 days. And then He rose over, went above His... Now what we call the hayat dunya, the life of this world, can be understood in two ways. One, the life as we go through it. The other is the actual universe itself. The skies, the heavens, the earth, the planets, all of these things are a part of the created dunya of Allah, right? Now, how many of you know that when we talk about the dunya, that's what we're talking about, this dunya, this material world, this existence were in his dunya, yes or no? Okay, now, you know that Allah, you cannot say anything bad about Allah, is that right? Allah is always great, majestic, and mighty, is that right? Is it right or wrong? Okay, the word dunya means the opposite of great. Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest, yes or no? Then why would you say he's in the dunya? Because the word dunya in the Arabic language means something so low, so disgusting, that if you were walking through the parking lot and you looked down your shoe and you saw something on there disgusting, you said, oh man, I got dunya on my shoe. Now do you get the picture? Don't say about Allah something like this. It's disgusting and it is shirk. Especially if you worshiped Allah in His creation. Everybody with me? Anybody want to fight with me about it? Huh?
Phone must have died. Hold on, guys. Let me put this on pause.
It says it right here in your book, and he switched from that subject over to the subject of Allah to try to prove his point that Allah is everywhere. He said, because Allah says, Laysa kamithlihi shay'in, Allah is not like his creation. But then he went on to say, but he is all hearing and all seeing. And he said, and so you see right here that contradicts the statement of he's not like his creation, but he is like his creation. Therefore, he said it's like, you know, he didn't use the word contradictory, but he used another word that it's, can't remember what he said. I don't want to put words in somebody's mouth. But immediately, he put a question mark on the Quran. He puts a question mark on Allah. He puts a question mark on our whole entire deen when he does this. Because what he's trying to say is that his so-called Aqidah is the right way. Some of the other people have told me the same thing. They say, well, there's two opinions or three opinions. How can you have two different opinions about La ilaha illallah? How could that possibly be a subject? There are six things that we have to believe as Muslims that if we don't have them, you can't be a Muslim. Is that true or false? Six things. First, you have to believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His prophets, the Day of Judgment, and the Qadr of Allah. Is that true or false? You must believe it, or you're not Muslim. Forget it. So how, if these are an essential part of belief, that's okay. But it's okay. Leave it that way. I know I'm good. Okay. Too many people helping cook here. It's my fault, alhamdulillah. Anyhow, when you do this, when you come up with these different meanings to the essential thing of belief, then you make it too hard. It's simple. Can't you just say Allah is one? One. The creation is something, yes? And Allah made it, yes? He didn't have to make it out of himself, did he? No, it's the creation of Allah. Allah can destroy it, yes or no? And Allah cannot be destroyed, yes or no? The creation of Allah has things in it that we consider imperfect, right? But Allah is perfect, right? Don't compare Allah to the creation. And He did this as a test, wallahi, Allah alam. But as a test, He gave us these ways that people can look at it from another aspect, but they'll be wrong because this is not guidance. So you have to ask Allah to guide you, and He can show you that for sure He is so unique, there's nothing in His creation like Him, and that's the meaning of La ilaha illallah. So see, if you were out there calling the people to Allah, and you said one thing and somebody else with you said something else, what would happen? People would be against you immediately. Suppose you're talking to a group of Christians, for example, you're in a Christian area, right? Three or four Christians are sitting here with you, and they said, a lie is everywhere, and one of you said yes, and the other one said no. Now what do you got? You're arguing with each other. Is that going to work? They're going to say, you people don't even know your religion, you're arguing with yourself. Okay, next question. By the way, that's only one question. Can a law do anything? Yes or no? No? Yes? How many say a law does everything? There's nothing a law cannot do. Raise your hand. There's nothing that a law cannot do. Raise your hand. This means he does everything, right? Right? Uh-oh, I'm hearing discussion again. You see, you're falling apart. You got people here asking you about what your belief in your God, and you're arguing with each other already, discussing, well, maybe yes, maybe no, yes he can, no he can't. Can a law do anything, yes or no? Can he die? You just contradicted yourself. Can he sleep? Can he lie? Come on, guys, get it together. Can a law do anything, yes or no? And the answer is no. Because you compared him to the creation again. What you say is a law is capable of doing anything that he wants to do. But as a law, he never wants to do anything that will make him not be a law. So he will never will that he won't exist. He will never will to die. He will never will to go to sleep. Well, last in a tunwala, no. He doesn't sleep and he doesn't get tired. Is that right? Okay, so we don't say Allah does everything. We say he, Allahu ala kulli shayin kabir, he's capable of doing whatever he set about to do. Now, we have regular tawheed classes on our program almost every day of the week. You can come on, and Sister Layla and others are teaching the Tawheed classes day after day after day, and they do a much better job than I do. But I'm asking myself a question, how I'm sitting in a masjid full of Muslims, and the first two questions I ask already, you were split down the middle. When I ask you, where is the law? Some said he's not in the creation, some said he is. When I ask you, can he do anything? Some said no, some said yes. I'm asking you a question, do you recognize that if somebody was looking at you, they would think you don't know your religion. They would think you don't know your religion. This must not be such a great religion because you don't even agree on what it is. Now let me ask you another question. The Quran. When did Allah create the Quran? Who will tell me? Raise your hand if you know. Now, anybody here say that Allah created the Quran? Raise your hand. How many of you say it's not creation? Raise your hand. Hey, all right. You got that one. You got a Quran teacher here, I bet. Am I right? You have somebody in your community that teaches Quran? He knows the Quran. He recites the Quran. Is he sitting right behind me? I thought so. I had a feeling about this. Who am I meant? Saidi. It looks like Saidi has a good smile. Alhamdulillah. The Sheikh is Alhamdulillah, the Sheikh we have in the masjid here with us has memorized the entire Quran. How many ayahs in the Quran? Who knows how many ayahs in the Quran? How many? Huh? 6,327. Now, by the way, don't get hung up on that number because it depends on how the Quran is numbered. Because at the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they didn't used to number it. That came later. That was one of those bid'ah hasanah. That was one of those good innovations of numbering it. That wasn't really needed at the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In any case, we're talking about Allah, not the Quran. I want to get back to the subject of Allah. what we're saying about Allah is only what he said about himself, and be careful not to go beyond that, because this is how you get in trouble. Don't make up something. When you don't know, today when we were given the khutbah, right? There was something that I couldn't remember when I was given the explanation of one of the ayahs. I just said, I don't know, and I skipped it. You know why? It's much better for me to say, I don't know, and go on than to try to even guess even at one word. Am I right or wrong? Yeah. Just say, I don't know. When you don't know, the words, I don't know, count as the correct answer. It counts as the correct answer. So, alhamdulillah. Let's focus on the subject of Allah a little bit more and think about this. Where was the creation before Allah made it? Anybody know? Where was the creation before Allah made it? It didn't exist. And can Allah destroy everything he created, yes or no? Yes, of course. All right. Now I'm going to come to another subject. It's not exactly about Allah, but Allah created Adam, right? Adam was the first man, right? And from Adam he created his wife from Adam's what? His rib, right? So Adam was created with no mother and no father. And Eve, she was created with no mother. But we don't pray to them, do we? So if somebody's created with no father, we don't pray to them either, do we? Huh? So that answers the question real quick about Jesus, doesn't it? Because if you're going to say we pray to Jesus because he has no father, well, why don't you pray to Adam? He had no mother or father. And by the way, just as a little side issue, in the Bible, in the chapter called Luke, the book called Luke, in the third chapter, the last words of that chapter, it says, Adam is the son of God. It says Adam is the son of God. So, whatever that means. I want to come back to the subject of Allah. Allah has no sons and he has no daughters. He said in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. How many of you have memorized this story? Raise your hand. Everybody, mashallah, wonderful. By the way, there's not too many religions out there where people can tell you they memorized the original text in the original language. It says, say he is Allah, the unique, he's unique. He is eternally sought after by all of his creation. He is not the father of anything, and he's not the progeny of anything. He's not the offspring of anything or anybody. And he's not like anything. There's nothing that compares to him anytime, any place. He is Ahad. That's the last words. He is unique. It's very beautiful. It's called the surah of what? Ikhlas. Or what? Sincerity. But it's also the surah of Tawheed, explaining what we believe about Allah and what we don't. All right, I got one more for you before we wrap this up. Ready? Can Allah do anything? Well, we already asked you that, so you're going to say, well, it's certain things he doesn't do, right? But can he make something the way he wants it? Yes. Can he make something so big? Can he make a rock so big in the universe that nothing can move this rock, yes or no? Can he make a rock so big nothing could ever move it? If you would say yes, raise your hand. Whoop, no, you're not raising your hand. All right, now look, you have a difference of opinion again. This is very critical. Because if you're going to be doing dawah to people, they come into your masjid, you got open house, and you got somebody over here saying one thing and somebody over here saying something else. We're not together, are you? You're not organized. Yes, he wants the question again. Can Allah make a rock so big that nothing can move it ever? Except Allah. Well, then you're saying that he can't do something. He can't make a rock so big that he can't move it. Is that what you're saying? Can he make a rock so big that he can't move it? So that's something he can't do, isn't it?
No.
No.
He will move it.
So he can't make a rock so big that he can't move it. What's the answer? Because this question, by the way, is not a new question. This question was asked thousands of years ago in Greek, the time of the Greeks. The philosophers were trying to spread disbelief, and they used to make fun of people who believed, and that was the question they used to use. The question is not correct. Exactly right. Why is the question not correct? What's wrong with the question? The question puts Allah in the creation. The question is no good because the question puts Allah in the creation. That's what I just told you. Don't do that. And you got no problem. Watch. Watch again. If you said Allah can make a rock so big nothing in the creation can move it, we say yes. Why? Because Allah is never in his creation. And he's not subject to the laws of his creation. He doesn't get a lever and a fulcrum and a force and try to go move a rock. Whenever Allah wants anything done, he merely says, what? By your coon. And it is. Right? Now the question's right, isn't it? Can Allah make a rock so big that nothing in creation can ever move it? Yes. Can Allah move it? Of course he can. Why? Because he's Allah. He's not subject to the creation. He's not like the creation. There is none like unto Allah, mighty and above all things that they ascribe to him in partnership and worship is he. This is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. So if you want to call the people to Islam, you have to know the object, Allah. And if you want to call to Allah, you have to know Allah. And if you don't know Allah, you're wasting your time calling the people to, because you'll just get in a big circle and you'll go nowhere. And I want you to see the proof of that. The proof of it, wherever I go, alhamdulillah, and explain this, when we have non-Muslims there, they stand up and make shahada. Last week, they brought only three, one by one by one. Two made shahada, the other one accepted that what I said was absolutely logical, but they still wanted to pray to Jesus. That was their choice. The week before that, we had one by one, three, and they all made shahada. They all accepted La ilaha illallah. And I'm asking you, if you see that we're giving at least, I mean, if we have more people to give it, like we had 135 at one time stood up and made shahada. Out of 150 people, 15 people who didn't do it, and those 15 were Jews and Arab Christians, and they will never do that. 135, it's on a videotape called 135 Make Shahada. It's not from me, it's from Allah. I'm asking you a question, though. When was the last time you gave shahada to anybody? And if the answer is no, you didn't ever give the shahada to anybody, you have to ask yourself why. And if you're telling them, oh, we believe in God, and they say, well, we do too. And you say, we believe God is one, and they said, we do too. And you said, okay, you're a Muslim, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, takbir, takbir. That's not right. They're not a Muslim because they say God is one. Hindus believe in over 33,000 gods. but they still say Allah is one. Do you know that? I said the Hindus. They say that. They say there's only one God, but we worship him through the others, the little gods. Christians say there's only one God, but they worship him through Jesus. Did you know that some Muslims pray to Muhammad? How many of you know that? Even now, there's people who pray to Muhammad. Yeah. They said that Muhammad, they can take their prayers better than they can pray themselves, and they pray to Muhammad. How many of you didn't know that? Well, guess what? Wake up and smell the kahwa, because it's for real. There are Muslims on earth who go to grave sites, they pray to saints, they pray to dead people, they pray to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's sad, because that means that they don't think that they're worthy to worship Allah directly. They don't think that they can make the connection just to say, Ya Allah, Ya Rab. They don't know they can do that. They go through somebody else. By worshiping Allah direct, you've obeyed him and you've done what you were created for. So that means a big statement. It's not just about believing there's one God. It's about how you worship him and how you imagine him and how you don't imagine him. Is Allah big? Is he? Huh? Is Allah big? You're doing it again. You got different opinions in the masjid here. Allahu Akbar! Allah is greater than what he created, but I'm not going to say he's big, because that's a relative term. Bigger than what? Greater is better, huh? He is the greatest. Absolutely, with no doubt. You're right. But see, you didn't think about it this way before, right? It's not that you didn't know, it's just that you didn't think about it this way. But for sure, your children cannot get it from you if you don't lay it out for them. This is why classes in Tawheed, classes in Aqidah, and classes in Islam are not optional. They are mandatory. This is a part from you to give this knowledge to your children. And of course yourself and your wife, or wives, you have a lot of wives around, I don't know, but... I can't read that, I don't... Okay, well, alhamdulillah, I like it when I get to this part, because I can at least turn off the equipment and go pray. We're about finished here. I want to sum it up. I want to go back and say that again. The dawah, and that's the subject you were asking me to speak on. Dawah is invitation. Dawah to what? To Islam. Islam is a verb. It's an action. It means the surrender, submission, obedience, sincerity, and peace between you and Allah. So it's seven, an action. Two, and the object is Allah. And Allah, it must be known to you without describing him like his creation. You must know that he is Allah, the only one worthy to be worshipped. You must know that Allah is the al-awwal wal-al-akhir. He is the beginning and the end, and there is none like him, anywhere, anytime, any place. He's not like his creation, because his creation is something low and disgusting compared to anything, but especially to Allah, you can't make this wrong. You understand? So the final point now is that you need to sit together to learn before you go out and try to teach somebody else. How can you call people to something you don't have? And that's our point. And we ask Allah to guide all of us. We ask Allah to bring us together on La ilaha illallah. We ask Allah to put khair in us, in what we do. And we ask Allah to put the hib of Allah, the love of Allah, the love of this deen, the love of the messenger, the love of the Quran, and the love of the Jama'ah of the Muslims. Put all of this in our hearts, Ameen. Allah, join our hearts together in the working for him, for his sake alone, Ameen. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to guide us to those things which will please him and to easy for us, Ameen. We ask him to let us live and die on the kalima, La ilaha illallah. We ask Allah to raise us up on this kalima, La ilaha illallah, on the Yawm al-Qiyamah, Ameen. We ask Allah to put us in the zil, in the shade of His arsh, on the day when there's no shade except the shade of Allah. Ameen. And we ask Allah to grant us His Jannah, His Jannah of Firdaus. Ameen. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. Rabbana la tu'akhidna in nasina wa akhtana. Rabbana wa tarhamna alayna isran kama hamaltu ala alladhina min qablina. Rabbana wa la tarhamna lam la taqaddamana bih. وفو انا وفو لنا وحمنا انتم الان فانسونا على القوم الكافرين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم من حامد المجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم من حامد المجيد امين Now, الحمد لله رب العالمين you've been listening to Islam Tomorrow and we're broadcasting today all the way from Flint, Michigan. Visit us online at islamtoday.com, ISLAM. I got to do a spelling lesson now. I forgot my English. First Arabic goes and then the English. ISLAMTOMOWW.com. We're open 24 hours a day and plenty of free parking. And until next time, it helps when you laugh at the jokes. Until next time, this is your host, Yusuf Estes, finding you that Allah is our Hadi, he's the guide, and we ask him to guide us. And he is Salam, the peace. Salam alaikum, rahmatullahi barakatuh.
Okay, guys, that was Sheikh Youssef. Just to remind you guys, he will be giving a lecture at Fajr. So we encourage everybody to try to join here at. The time I have for him is. 6 o'clock in the morning. At 6 o'clock in the morning, if you guys are up, 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, which is 3 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. GMT. Try to be here for his next lecture, okay? Inshallah. So if you guys have any questions, go ahead and ask them. I'm going to do the schedule for tomorrow now, inshallah.